Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift it is to be with you today. We've got two scripture readings for today. I'm going to read one, and I'm grateful that our friend Penny is going to read the other. And as we read these verses, they come from a strange story about Moses and the Hebrews in the wilderness. And then we'll read from the Gospel of John after that. The Gospel refers to the story of the Hebrews, and so that's why we'll read them both together. But before we hear the scriptures this morning, as we usually do, I'd like for us to pray together and ask God to speak to us by the word. This prayer that I'll pray today was written around 100 years ago by a German Reformed theologian named Karl Barth. Let us pray together. Holy God in heaven, we thank you for the eternal, living, and saving word that in Jesus you have spoken and continue to speak to us human beings. Do not allow us to hear it only in a cursory fashion, and give us the confidence and energy to obey it. Let the dawn continue to break a little in our hearts and in this institution and at home with those who are dear to us, in this city and in our nation and throughout the whole earth. You know the errors and misdeeds that make our current situation once again so dark and dangerous on all sides. Let a fresh wind blow through it that might at least scatter the thickest fog from the heads of those who rule this world, but also from the heads of the people who permit themselves to be ruled, and above all, from the heads of those who make public opinion. And have mercy on all of us who might be sick in body and in spirit, and many for whom life is suffering, those who are lost and confused through either their own or others' fault, and those who have no friends or helpers. Show our youth also what true freedom and genuine joy are, and do not leave any of us without the hope of the resurrection and eternal life. But you who are the first, who are concerned about our sorrows, you are the only one who can turn them to good. Thus we can and want only to lift our eyes upward toward you. Our help comes from you who made heaven and earth. Amen. Now these first few verses that we'll read from the book. These first few verses from the book of Numbers serve as a background reference for the John passage that we'll read. And so to shed some light on that reference, before we hear the gospel reading, you need to know a little bit about what Moses is doing in Numbers 21. The Hebrew people have been liberated from slavery in Egypt, and they find themselves in the wilderness, struggling with this nomadic lifestyle. They've suffered some losses in war, and they've struggled mightily to maintain their fidelity to God and their patience with Moses. And so they speak out against God and Moses, saying, "Look, why have you brought us out here in this wilderness? Did you bring us out to Egypt just so we would die?" And then there becomes in their camp an infestation of fiery snakes. And then the people turn to Moses and to God to save them from the snakes. And so that's where our reading starts. We will read their plea and God's response through Moses, beginning with verse 7. Let's listen to God's word to us today. The people went to Moses and said, "We've sinned against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord so that he will send the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous snake and place it on a pole. Whoever is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and placed it on a pole. And if a snake bit someone, that person could look at the bronze snake and live. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Now our next reading.
Our gospel reading for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verses 14 through 21. Let us listen now for God's word to us today. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who trusts in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever places their confidence in him isn't judged. Whoever doesn't trust in him is already judged, because they don't put their confidence in the name of God's only Son. This is the basis for judgment. The light came into the world, and people loved darkness more than the light, for their actions are evil. All who do wicked things hate the light and don't come to the light, for fear their actions will be exposed to the light. Whoever does the truth comes to the light so that it can be seen that their actions were done for God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Penny. For God so loved the world. You don't have to raise your hands, but I would bet many of us memorized this as a child. For God so loved the world. John 3:16. At least in America, and especially in the Bible Belt, this verse is perhaps the most famous and most often memorized verse in Sunday schools and vacation Bible schools everywhere. 20 or 30 years ago, you would have seen it held up on signs at sporting events, printed on kitschy t-shirts, and even parodied by a professional wrestler at one point. I don't know if you remember that. One thing that always bothered me, even as a kid, I don't like to be the person that's bothered, but even as a kid I was occasionally bothered, was the way that this verse, which says at its very beginning that God loves the whole world, was often used in situations that were wildly unloving. Situations in which the person wielding the scripture was trying to convince a stranger of their condemnation, making wild assumptions about people that they'd never met. In college, for example, I would see would-be preachers threatening others, children who they've never met, with some ultimate punishment should they not convert to their worldview. And for me, that fact alone is as clear and as an example of any of the twisting that can be done to Scripture when it's been amputated from its context and deployed at others. If you saw the Barbie movie, you remember where Ken says he's going to play the guitar at her? Okay, there's a sense where when you do something at somebody, we can tell the difference between when someone is doing something at us or whether they're doing it with us and for us. And this verse, out of context, often gets so blindly plucked, I often just at least want it to include the very next verse. Half of the time I see this verse referenced, I just want to invite the inclusion of verse 17 as well. Verse 17, which says, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him.